So, yeah, obviously the word has levels. And we have what are the historical elements of the story, which are drawn from the world. So person, place, time and space, that's the historical elements. What I'd say about that is that we tend to confuse historicals with the letter of the word. They're not the same thing. The letter of the word is the Lord's flesh and bones, right? Person, place, time and space of historicals is the maternal human. Okay? So what happens is that when the Lord comes into the world, that is, into the world of your mind, into the natural, the externals of the Lord and the internals are apparently separated. So we have an understanding of historicals, which is not yet united to the spiritual sense of the word. So that provides the first rung on Jacob's ladder, if you like. So every rung requires a death and constitutes a resurrection. A lower level of meaning has to be put off in order to enter into a higher level of meaning, or a lower idea of the Lord has to be put off to enter into a higher idea of the Lord, or a more interior idea. So what you have in terms of the process, our experience here, is it appears as if the Lord's human essence, which is the letter of the word, is separated from his divine essence, which is the spiritual sense of the word, spiritual and celestial senses, the divine. So the work, the Lord's work, is to unite his human essence, the letter of the word, with his divine essence, the spirit of the word. And what that process is termed is the glorification of the Lord's human, right? So the human of the Lord, so human means expression. So esse is divine, human is existere. Right? So all of these terms are interchangeable terms describing the same thing. So it's worth the effort to have a list of those kind of duals that you can transpose, because it opens up the meaning of things. So the Lord's glorification from an interior perspective has nothing to do with person, place, time and space. So what we have this experience of is we enter into the word, it's initially clothed with person, place, time and space. And we go through a process of having to remove that level of meaning in order to free up a more interior level of meaning. So as that's freed up, that interior level of meaning is the human or the expression or the more refined truths that are being put on, and that is the human from the Father, right? Or truth from good. The good is the practice, the willingness to do those things. That's the practice, which is good because it leads to the regeneration of the human mind and supports that. And then new insights are granted to the degree that we're willing to engage with the word with a view to shunning evils as sins, insights and illustration are granted. And so that is the putting on, or the Lord assuming a human from the Father while in the world. So there's a lot of confusion about the human the Lord assumes and what is glorified. Well, the human from the mother, or the most external level, the historicals, is not what is glorified. It's the human from the Father, right? So now just coming to the distinction between the sense of the letter, the historical meaning of things, and the letter itself. So the letter itself can either project the mind out into historicals, or it can serve to bring us interiorly into understanding spiritual and celestial realities, or the realities that link to our affections and thoughts. Yeah, the world of our affections and thoughts. That's what's real in terms of spiritual work. I guess a way of looking at it is like if you knew nothing about Hebrew and you're just looking at the letters, like we take it very literally, and then suddenly by means of influx, those letters started to shine forth an interior meaning, right? And there was no knowledge of an exterior meaning, then, you know, the letter is still part of the word. Like it is the word, it's the Lord. There's no sense of confusion or obscurity there. It's just there and serves its function. But because we are steeped in person, place, time, and space meanings of words, we have the difficulty. So there are these two levels of meaning, like there's this historical meaning and there's this interior meaning, spiritual and celestial meaning. And we're kind of embedded in the lowest level. So that takes priority in our thinking until we step back from it. Now, when the Lord comes into the world, or when spiritual truths shine their light into the natural, right? That's when we are released from thinking in terms of person, place, time, and space. So we start thinking in terms of state. So that's why there's this time shift going on in the text. You know, the first thing you have is the most ancient church. We think of it in terms of time. And then the Lord's coming. And then it states, so the very last clause, but in general, all are meant who are of the church and who infest the upright and the other life, or the life of the mind, of whom there are very many at this day. So it's a cycle. It's cyclic. It's not limited to time. And so if you think of those early church descriptions as corresponding to our own states and development, then there are things of a strength of those sensual beliefs that are associated with the Nephilim and what have you, reasoning from the senses. That is still something that has to be overcome. So they kind of are the residual of the early church states that we pass through, which the Lord is very much seen in terms of person, place, time, and space, or in a way that's finite or closely associated with our understanding of what a human is. We project that onto the Lord, and that becomes a very powerful barrier to seeing a more interior view, or having a more interior view of the Lord as the Word. So that experience of not being able to get out of time is what this is. That's what they are, the Nephilim and what have you, because that sense-based thinking dominating the thought. So when the letter of the word then serves to bring insight into the interiors, the process side of things, and we get a view of what proprium is and we get a view of what the Lord is, then what is happening there is that the letter of the word is becoming translucent. It's beginning to shine, because what's interior now, the interior meaning, is being held in the letter. And the sense of the letter, the historicals, has been put off. And, you know, we see it when we read elements. There are elements of the word we can read and we immediately think spiritually. We don't think in terms of the literal sense. But there's a lot of the word that we end up being down in the literal element, the historical elements. So there is this idea here of not confusing the sense of the letter with the letter itself. So the letter of the word is the cherubim, right? Described in the garden, that guard the way. Now, that can mean either prevents what will profane from entering, right? Or opens the way. So the guarding of the way is to guard the possibility for the regeneration of the human mind. And the sense of the letter of the word is there to offer that protection and also to open possibility of a heavenly life, a spiritual life. I think the whole thing is designed in a way whereby we have to accept that there are interior things, and so we have to, as of self, make an effort to step back from an exterior meaning in order to try and find an interior meaning. And we're not going to find an interior meaning, a genuine interior meaning I'm talking about, unless we're willing to enter into self-examination and repentance, unless we're willing to shun evils as sins, that interior meaning stays closed. But we can have memory knowledge of spiritual principles, because they're all laid out in the books, right? But as memory knowledge, they can't save. They can't produce anything. They can only begin to produce things by coming alive, being extracted out of Egypt, which again is an example of person, place, time and space, which is hell, which is the maternal human, which is proprium. So all of these terms are interchangeable terms. And it's about seeing their linkages that starts to enable the word to be opened up in terms of its application to the processes, to the interior aspects. So it's the internal sense of the word that is the Lord. And it's the internal sense of the word that transforms the mind. Because the internal sense of the word is about celestial and spiritual things. Well, celestial things are the things that have to do with our affection, and spiritual things are those things that have to do with the understanding or the thought. And what the heavenly doctrines declare about those is that they are real things, or the things that really do pertain to eternal life. That's why they are real things. So yeah, you know, like we so easily just roll over the words thinking we understand what's being said. And more often than not, the common understanding that we have, or the sensual understanding we have, is not adequate. It can't save. So what's related to our internal life has to come forward in order for us to gain any spiritual benefit from it.